Morning, Rich. How are we doing?
Oh, morning, Rich. Very, very, no, very funny.
No, Rich.
Very funny, mate.
No, it's me. I'm back. It's Callum.
Oh, yeah. Callum's back. Oh, it was me, Rich. It was me all along. You're right, Jeb. Yeah, this is good. This is Carlton Palmer AI, isn't it? This is what this is. I'm on to it. You're gonna be inviting me out for a big bit of lunch in a second,
Rich,
aren't you, mate?
Rich, mm-hmm. No, I'm actually back.
Yeah.
This is me.
Okay. All right. I tell you what, if this is you, tell me something that only you know that I would know about you.
You know I can't say that on podcasts. It's I can't disclose that kind of information.
Oh God. Callum.
Rich, it's me.
You. He's back. Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I am your host, Rich Owens, and joining me this week, it's two-thirds of the FM team, but it's not the two-thirds you were expecting. It's the United City FM Kev, and it's Y Callum. He's back! Callum, hello, mate. Look, I feel bad getting really excited about this, because look behind the curtain. It's also Kev's birthday, but Callum...
Yeah.
Kev, for your birthday, I've got you a Callum. That's
what I always wanted.
That is exactly what you wanted. Callum, how are you, pal? It's been a hot minute.
I'm great, thank you. I'm tired. I'm great. I'm tired. Did I say that already? Yeah. No, I'm really good. I've been away. I think the last podcast I did was with Lelujo, which was quite a while ago. Quite a while ago. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get back. It's been quite surreal seeing the podcast go up every week without me on it. But an absolute pleasure to be back in your company. I mean, the odds, can you believe it? The one I come back for, Jeb's not here. I mean, what are the chances of that? It's almost like there's something there. I don't know. But more importantly, Rich, I think we should sing a little song. I think we should sing a little song.
I think we should. I think come we on. Should.
Ocean Man.
Is that the one? Bad hand, leave it to the land.
No, not that one. Sure. No.
I think we should. I think we should sing a little song. After you.
Are you going to only apologise to the viewers and the listeners out there for what's going to come, I think.
Rich, are you taking the high bit or the low bit? I don't know. How are we harmonising here?
I mean, I'm going to be brutally honest with you, mate. It all just blends into one halfway through, doesn't it, in these circumstances?
I hear what you're saying. I'm going high. Right, let's go.
That's the end of the podcast, folks. Lovely to have you this week. We'll see you again on another episode of the Football Manager Therapy Podcast.
Right then, shall we? On three, and a one, and a two, and a three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It'll be done in a minute, folks.
You.
Don't worry, just humor them.
Happy birthday, dear Kevin.
United City FM.
Happy birthday to you.
Really good. I don't know what you heard there, Rich, but I think that was really
powerful. Powerful. Oh. And if there's one thing that Kev appreciates, it's high quality a cappella singing. Mm. So the greatest gift we could possibly give.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Kev.
Happy birthday, Kev. How are you this morning, Kev? Sorry, I'll rephrase the question. How were you until about 2 minutes ago?
Yeah. It's like I'm having some form of fever dream or something. This is just the weirdest moment in the world. I feel like I've been looking after a newborn for the last 2 weeks and I've had no sleep. I don't understand what's going on. I think I'm doing all right. If this is what this year is going to bring me, then it could be a long year, but we'll be all right, I'm sure. I'm doing all right, Rich. I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here. It's a lovely day. I'm absolutely delighted to get Callum back. Shame that Jeb couldn't be here, but you know how the two of them are. It's just one of those things. Rich, how are you doing? Can I just say, Rich, your moustache is looking a many splendid thing. Tell us all about it and tell us how are you doing.
Very, very sweet of you, Kev. I'm very well. Thank you, mate. I'm very, very well. I'm happy to get to spend some time with you on your birthday. I'm happy Callum's back. Jeb is currently trapped in the Isle of Man. filming competition.
Sure he is.
That, yeah. Well, no, we came up with something that we thought sounded just believable enough that Callum wouldn't question it. Trapped in the Isle of Man. Filming pool. That'll do. And that's all we need to say about it. So he's there. So it's a shame he couldn't be here. Soon all four of us will be together again, like some kind of like Football Manager podcast megazord. We'll all form into what, imagine, oh, it's gonna be great. And then we'll punch a giant monster and, oh, it's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so good. I can't wait. It's actually gonna happen.
I'm still in my fever dream.
I don't know what's going
it's all
on.
Completely normal. Everything is everything's fine. Thanks for asking. Everything's fine at home. I'm good. My mustache is out. Look at it. Isn't it nice? I spent the day yesterday. Because of course I did, in a boxing gym in Hereford, playing a referee in a music video for my friend's band. They've not played a live show for about a decade, but they're filming music videos because priorities. So that'll be out later this, well, that'll be out next year. But don't worry, when it finally comes out, I will have forgotten it happened. I'll get tagged in it and I'll be like, no, I don't have any recollection of that. That's a ridiculous thing. That's an absolute ridiculous. Why would I do that? Why would I dress up like a boxing referee? I don't know anything about it. Collectively, we knew nothing about boxing. They're like, what do referees do? They're like, well, somebody gets knocked down, then they jump, they fall on the floor, and they slap the mat. They go, one, two, three. No, that's wrestling. That's absolutely wrestling. All the refereeing references that people had, as it turns out, are wrestling referee references. So, awkward music video. But I also just managed to say wrestling referee references really smoothly twice. Look at me go. Thriving, not surviving.
What a day.
I know. Anyway, what's this podcast about, lads? What do we normally talk about? Is it...
At this point, who knows?
At this point, it's a bloody mystery, isn't it? Football Manager.
Oh, yeah.
Football Manager. Remember that game that we all play? It's good. It's a good one, isn't it? We like a bit of Footy Manager. We like a bit of Football Manager, don't we? We've had a bit of a chat amongst ourselves this morning. We've realised that last week, when we recorded our episode, we revisited some bold predictions that we made regarding the Premier League. And then we realised that, you know, prior to that, we've also made some kind of bold predictions as to what we were expecting from the new Football Manager. Of course, FM24 has been out now for quite a few weeks. Early access has happened. Full fat FM24 is now out, and we're all having a wonderful time with it. But we've decided we're going to start this week's episode by revisiting some of the things that we were kind of hypothesizing about before the game was released, even before the early access release. We're going to take a look at some of the new features included in the game. We spent some time discussing them before they were released. We've all had a little bit of time with them hands-on now. So we thought, why not start the episode by having a bit of a chat about set pieces? It's the big one, really, isn't it, lads? I think when it's come to FM24, of all the new things they've included in the game, I think it's fair to say that the set piece refresh is probably one of the biggest improvements they've made over pretty much any previous iteration of FM when it comes to set piece taking. Callum?
The biggest compliment I can give it is that I think calling it a set piece refresh is downplaying it. I don't think it is a refresh of it. I think they've almost completely redone it. And that's why I've been so impressed with it, to be honest with you. It's been a while since I've had a new Football Manager game, looked at a feature and gone, "What? Hold on, hey, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not 100% sure. I will click on the defaults and just see how that works for the time being, because it was quite confusing. You know, when you get it and you got the tutorials come up automatically and like, I don't need tutorials. So I clicked through it all on stream and wait a second. I probably should have read those because I don't know what's going on. What are these aerial threats creators? Who are they? Are they talking about us? Why are we involved in the game now? You know, I think my overriding feelings on it is I really, really like it. I really, really like it. Mm. And I think it's because it makes it feel a bit more real. That was my biggest criticism of the previous set pieces. It was like, you're standing here, you're standing here, you're standing here. Whereas I know there is still an element of that, don't get me wrong, but it just feels a bit more fluid. It feels a bit more realistic in the sense of you're not seeing the same corner every single time. And I think that was the big issue with it. Especially, I mean, we regularly talk about PvP. PvP, near post corners, it became boring. Like, it genuinely became boring to the extent where if we were paneling on the playoffs and there was a near post corner score, we didn't tend to go to it. It was just like, yeah, it's a near post corner. You've seen it before. We don't need to see this again. The near post corners now are different. Like, even those, you know, you see different runs in there. I've got three set piece tactics set up. Two of them are in swinging corners because I've got a variety of ways that I've got players attacking the area. You know, I've got a variety of people on the edge, back, whatever, you know. And I think my overriding feeling is this is great. Like, this is really good. And this is exciting because they've added something in which genuinely goes, oh, this is a new game. This is a new game. Mm-hmm. This is something that is new. I've really enjoyed short corners. Like, just because I always felt like on last year's game and previous iterations, short corners were diabolical. The amount of times you played it short and then they played it back to the corner taker and he was offside was like mind-numbing. Like, I was like, why are you doing this so regularly? Whereas now, the one I've got set up in front of me here, you know, I've got the guy short, and then I've got another guy like on the corner of the box waiting for a ball there. And I've had two or three occasions where they have actually played that little triangle round, played it under the edge, and we've scored from it. And you're like, I'm doing a thing here. I'm doing a thing. Like, and this isn't just me throwing it to the big man at the front post. This is actual tactics. I'm a manager now. It's brilliant. And so, like, I think it's just giving you more license to play around with it. I'm so intrigued to see how it works with PvP. I really am. I think that's going to be very interesting because as much as I'm talking about the attacking one, defensive corners, I'm still not 100% sure with how I'm playing around with that. I know how to put someone on the edge. I know how to set up a counterattack. But the mixture between zonally and player marking, I think, is really intriguing. I think it's great. I think it's great. It's exciting.
It really is, isn't it? I think you've hit the nail on the head with the short corners. That's been a revelation for me. I've been wanting a good short corner tactic now for 3FMs, and I've never made one work. I had one set up on an old, when I was doing my Sheffield Wednesday streams on FM 21, and I had a short corner tactic. And I'd be like, you'd be 45 seconds into a highlight because you'd play it to your short man. He would then hoof it back to the man on the halfway line. And then there's like seven or eight other passes like, hold on, technically, this is still the corner. This is still technically the corner. You wait. Okay, it's gone back to our keeper. Okay, that's all part of the plan. This is fine. Okay, now he's knocked it. Okay, we've lost possession because he's gone long with it and he's just knocked it to one of the big midfielders. But you used to get so excited. I think I scored three over the course of an entire save, and it was the most exciting thing that ever happened. And it now lets us do that. We can actually, like I say, you can play your triangles, you can set your instructions. I know in our Chelsea early access save, Lionel Messi and James Ward-Prowse on short corners were phenomenal together, absolutely phenomenal. Kev, how have you been finding it? Because I know you said, as Callum mentioned, it's, you set it up and it all seems quite straightforward, but you've, as it turns out, to get the best out of it, you've got to actually put a little bit more effort in, haven't you?
Yeah, there is a deep dive process here, I think. And we've specifically been talking in the last couple of minutes about attacking corners. But, you know, Callum is right. In terms of the defensive stuff, how do you create a tactic where you've got the support that you need everywhere? So you're not leaving the top of the box free of your players somehow and leaving them the space to find those. There's still some work that I've got to do in some of that to figure some of those out. I don't know whether I'm getting the most out of my free kicks, I think, at the moment, offensively as well as defensively. The other thing to mention that I'm really enjoying is there's now three different areas of the pitch where you do throw-ins from, and you get different results from them depending on which you choose and how you set your team up, etc. So there's a lot of a deep dive in here. I think that it can be a little bit overawing when you sort of go into the process for the first time, but there's some quite sort of simple guidance, I think, within how you set it up that makes a big difference. And it's basically all about priorities. If you can figure out what your priority is and set that in terms of, is your priority, as we've been talking about attacking corners, is it the aerial threat or is it the top of the box or is it short? And set those priorities, it then instills in the rest of the set pieces to what actually happens in it. So it does take a moment to get your head round. I think there's still one set piece that I'd really love to change, and I mentioned it before this came out, and that's my goal kicks. The one thing I'd love for FM25 in a new addition to the set pieces, I want to be able to overload my goal kicks, put three people in a particular area of the pitch and try and aim for that and get out from my box in that particular style. Something additional in those kind of goal kick kind of things. But what they've implemented, as we've said, is not just a little bit of a tweak or a little bit of a refresh on a thing. It's actually, let's sweep it under the carpet, get rid of it and do this instead. And the biggest benefit, which is a huge benefit, is the thing that if I take off a 6'5" central defender and I put in a 5'9" central defender, you're not now automatically asking the 5'9" defender to do the same thing as the 6'5". The game mechanic now enables you to make that change, and then the rest of the team move around in those particular positional spots for your set pieces, and it's not just like for like, as it were. And I think that's a real, really big feature. But it is all about priorities. You've got to set what your priority is for what you're trying to achieve. You're going to have to order things a little bit. But once they're set, it's really fantastic. And then there's that additional thing. I don't know how many people are using it. I'm not using it as much as I'd like to yet. I've just come to the end of my first season proper in FM24. So as it continues on, I'll be adding this in a little bit. But you've now got three spots that you can put your different set pieces in. So three different corners. You want a short one, you want a near post one, you want a top of the box one, and you can rotate round them in various priority orders again, which just means, is that going to be the meta for PvP? And this is, you know, what Callum was saying. What's going to be the meta ultimately for PvP? Is it still going to be chuck it onto the near post and hope that it works? Or is it going to be, I've got to change it up, and the opposition have now got to figure that out and keep up with me? We'll see as it goes what that becomes. I really like it. I think there's going to be a theme in a lot of these conversations about 24. I really like it.
This is the thing, isn't it? It's for me, when I look at the new set pieces refresh, it's the first time I've played an FM in years and years and years and years where there's been a new feature which feels actually new. Like it's not the kind of thing where you can just click a couple of buttons and go, oh, okay, this is it's similar to last year. It's been rebadged. There's a couple of extra options. I can click, 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 and it's going to be the same thing. You've actually got to stop and think about it and pay attention to it. It feels like it's the first time it feels like you're playing a new game, because it's so in depth and there's so much to it. There's so much you have to unpack. You set up a corner routine, and then you realize that, you know, the first couple of highlights that you see in a game, your corner routine, despite saying, right, I want a couple of people covering the fast break, I want a couple of people covering this, I want zoner marking here, here, and here, you've still actually not got anybody covering the edge of the box. And then you'll concede goals from the edge of the area because you haven't realized quickly enough that you've not got it set up properly. Because it's the first highlight you see, you go, oh God, there's two men free on the edge of the area. Oh, one of them's a goalkeeper. Oh no. And it's and then you concede, and it's really, really embarrassing. But you have to go back, and then you have to take it into consideration. The automatic player switching is one of the best features they've ever put in terms of the height. You bring off the big man, you bring on the little man. The fact the game now does that for you, that's one of the best qualities.
It's been a long time coming, that. It's been a long time coming.
It really has. And the fact that it's in there now, like, for example, I'm managing in the J League. And the J League is, it was advertised as fully licensed. They are still securing some of the licensing for player likenesses in a couple of clubs, I think. But they've said it's coming, and that's fair enough. New league, newly introduced thing into the game. These things sometimes take a little bit of additional time. And it's not like a game like FM can't implement it quickly once it's done. But because that's where I've started my save, friend of the pod and a friend of my chat, Gitos, pointed out to me an hour in that there was a patch, and they put the new players in, which I then downloaded and started the save again. The issue with the patch is that all of the new players, there's a glitch with it. So everybody, even the real life players, are all 4'11". Everybody is 4 foot 11. Ex-Swansea striker Bafotemi Gomi is 4 foot 11. He was like 6'2 or 6'3 in real life, I'm sure. Big boy, but he's teeny tiny in Japan now. I've got a central defensive midfielder who I rotate with, I think it's Gbamin, the ex-Everton midfielder, who's big, big lad. That's absolutely fine. When I rotate them, so when he comes off and my 4 foot 11 Japanese player comes on, I don't have to worry about changing my set piece defense because the game does that automatically for me. Because if it didn't do that, I would forget every single time without fail. Why have I just conceded a goal from a corner? Oh, it's because he's 4 foot 11. And even if he was the right height, he's still got like 4 for jumping reach. Like it's just, I would forget. And it helps players like me who are not concentrating at the best of times on certain elements of the game. But I think it's wonderful. I think it's absolutely wonderful seeing some of your set pieces kind of happening in front of you the way that you intend them to go.
It's real. That's the thing. It's just more immersive. It's just more real. There's no world in real football management where you would do that. You would take off your 6 foot two lad and bring on somebody who's 5 foot six and go, yeah, you still mark the big lad for corners. Mm-hmm. There's no world where that would happen. So that's there. They're the little tweaks where you go, yeah, this is just getting a bit more realistic now. It's also easier for casual players, like you say, people who mm-hmm. don't want to be going into the tactics screen every single time. I'm one of those. I don't want to be changing my set pieces every time I make a sub. I'm not interested in that. Like, that's not mm-hmm. something that I want to do. It's too in-depth. Interestingly, Kev, you mentioned there throwing mm-hmm. some free kicks. Can mm-hmm. I be completely honest with you? I've not clicked on that tab yet. So while you two have been talking, I've been playing around with free kicks and throw-ins in the background. Throw-ins are really interesting.
They are?
Really yeah. interesting. Mm-hmm. Because you've got, if you haven't looked at it already, I'll go through them really, really quickly for everyone. So first of all, you've got your defensive third throw-ins. And the two options you've got are retain possession, so you're probably throwing it more to your defensive line for them to keep it, or work the line. You're taking more of a gamble there. You're throwing it up. It might come back to you. So you've got that sort of option there. The next one is your middle third, so the middle of your pitch. Once again, retain possession, work the line. What do you want to do? Do you want to sort of just play it safe and retain possession? Or do you want to have a go? Do you want to have a go down that line? And I love that because it's sort of giving that option of, are you gonna stick or twist? Almost like it's almost like a gambling thing, isn't it? And then the final one is work into box or long throw. Now, work into box is just the same standard one, but you click on long throw and suddenly you've got options like you're taking a corner. You've got your aerial threats, you've got your box threats, your creators, your recovery defenders. You've got all of that in there. That's great. Mm-hmm. Like that's properly great because once again, then it's giving you those options. And I've always been a big believer in real football that players, when you're watching a game of Premier League football, players don't make their decisions. I genuinely believe that managers are telling them exactly what to do. So if you see a lad hitting it long for 90 minutes, it's not because he can only hit it long. It's because that's what his manager has told him to do. They are paid professionals. It is literally their job. They're not Sunday League where, oh, well, actually, I'm going to go up and take this penalty because I fancy it. You know, it's very strict. This feels more like that. It feels more like, I don't want to see you throwing it long if I'm telling you to retain possession. What are you doing? You're going against my instructions there. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. They're players. They will do it on occasion. But 9 times out of 10, you would hope they'd follow that instruction and they'd do it. And I think that is really, really good. Free kicks, I think, are similar. I'll be honest with you. I think free kicks are similar to what they were before. I've just gone, you aim for your best header. And regardless of how far out you are, that's what you're aiming for. And obviously you can alter who's in the box and who's out of the box, not dissimilar to corners. But I think I don't see an awful lot of change there with those. But I think corners and throw-ins, I think there are significant changes. And I think that is fantastic.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Throw-ins, I have never, I say it's a tab I've not clicked. My best.
You've got to join my throw-in revolution, boys.
I will. I love it. I'm so excited for throw-ins.
I'm in already. my dream with throw-ins in any football simulation game has always been, all I want to do is try and retain possession from this throw-in. So the opportunity to expand on that and actually turn a throw-in 3/4 of the way up the pitch into an attacking opportunity. That's not something that's ever crossed my mind before. because it panics me too much. Like, we're going to try that. Oh, we've thrown it straight to the opposition fullback, and they are breaking.
You could maybe alter it later on in a game as well. You know, if you're trailing in a game, you could go, right, we're not going to retain possession. We are actually going to have a go now with the throw-in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the amount of throw-ins on last year's game, which did my head in, where they just threw it straight to opposition. Like, the amount of ones they did that for. And I appreciate I hadn't set it up an instruction, because I just didn't, because it was either long throw or not. But at the same time, like, just pass it to a lad in amber. Like, don't pass it to a lad in blue. Like, we're that's our team. Like, just try and throw it to them. You're not even near it. There's no one there from my team. Why are you throwing it there? So I think that's really, really good. And I'm all aboard the Kev throw-in train now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
It's a revolution that's going to sweep the FM community, I'm sure. But yeah, I really like it. And there's so much little intricacies there again. It's that thing of, okay, so you're in your middle third and you decide you want to retain possession off your throw-in. So you just drop it back nicely to your defensive unit to keep hold of it. But in the priority set of how you set things up, where is your playmaker? Is he the person you're actually giving it to in that defensive third? Is he dropped into it to go and receive the ball there in plenty of space to then move it forward again in a better way than you can from the throw? There's so much stuff you can try and get your head around with this, or with all of this kind of stuff. Now, I've had a little bit of a thought live on a podcast without having expressed this to anybody. Ooh, so dangerous. You never know what this is going to bring, but
buckle in.
We were talking a little bit before we recorded about what aspects of the game we might decide that we might want to champion this time round, in terms of we did it with training a little bit last time in FM23. I've got a bit of a left field suggestion for you, and it is only that. Because I think there's a lot you can do with things like set pieces, but it's not specifically that. What if we become the podcast that might actually attempt to find a great use for a match plan? And the reason I say it is because it doesn't have to be, you know, in the fifth minute you can do this, in the 12th minute you can do that, in the 15th minute you can... It doesn't have to be that specific. But what if you could change a couple of your throw-in things or a couple of your set-piece things purely because you're in the lead or behind with 10 minutes to go? For example, I sent a tweet out the other day that was designed to ask the question about goalkeepers going up for set pieces, because I was in Salty B's stream. Shout out to Salty B. Great. He's doing a great Wonder Kids save this time around, which is amazing. But we were talking on his stream about how do you actually get the goalkeepers to go up, and nobody could really figure it out. They're not in the lists of players that you could put up as an aerial threat or anything like that. Turns out, if you put your mentality to very attacking in the last 10 minutes, there is a chance your goalkeeper will automatically go up for your corners and set pieces, etc. But it's those sort of little things. Is there something in the match plan that you could potentially go into and put two or three things in that in this particular scenario, this happens? Because I don't think many people use it. I remember really vividly, I tried to use it very specifically in the first couple of weeks of FM23. It went dreadfully wrong. I think I overloaded it with stuff, confused everything that was going on, and nothing worked. So I took it away. I think that could be something that we could look into at a future date. We'll park it for this one, but watch this space on that one, because I don't think anybody uses it. And if you use it out there, let us know how you use it and what you use it for. And if you don't, tell us why you don't.
I didn't know what it was before you just said it. I've just clicked on it and it looks cool. So I like
it. It's really interesting. I really wanted to use it this time last year and I tried, but I just don't think I had the emphasis right somehow. And it just confused a load of stuff. But there's so much you can do within it to set parameters of first 15 minutes, last 15 minutes, whether you're up or down in a game, all sorts of other things. I just wonder whether there's something that we can do in there. We'll think about that.
I think you had me until you said goalkeepers going up for corners. Too soon.
Too soon. No, I get that. Absolutely. I do. Rich.
No, I agree. It's another part of Football Manager that I don't use at all. Mm-hmm. And I would like to, but I've never found myself doing it. And I didn't realize that the potential of the impact it could have on games until, so we're obviously we are you know, the FMT podcast. We are officially championing the SASMAS skin this year. We're all using it, and my goodness, it is beautiful. When you set up your games, you have the option. You can simulate a match, or you can skip the game when you're submitting your team. There is an option there. And we did a couple of them in the network game recently just to get through some preseason friendlies. Mm-hmm. And it comes, the option drops out and says, oh, select match plan. It goes, oh, you got none selected. And I'm like, probably be fine. And that'll be okay, maybe. What kind of impact is this going to have on my game? For we won because we were playing our first team against a team that played reserves. So it was, but the importance of a match, like it could be massive. Mm-hmm. And over the course of your season, plus it all encourages us to deep dive into things like the set piece creator as well, you know. Mm-hmm. Come up with our throw-in technique tactics, come up with some additional corners, come up with some, you know, scenarios where okay, we're training in a game, what do we need to do in that final 10-15 minutes, you know. It's going to encourage you to look at different players as well, because again, one of the attributes that I never take into consideration with players on FM are long throws. Because mm-hmm. I don't utilize them. I've never found an efficient way of making them work in previous FMs. So I don't pay it any mind when I'm looking at a player. It would never affect my decision-making process on bringing a player into a club. If you can come up with an effective long throw-in tactic or long throw-in routine, suddenly that's going to completely change your scouting process. It's going to completely change the way that you are assessing players coming into the club, because especially a non-league level or a lower league level, a good long throw-in tactic, that's going to separate. That could mm-hmm. be the difference between, you know, playoffs and automatic promotion. You can make it work at that level.
I think it's really important. I don't remember the last time that I allowed my right fullback to go and take a throw-in down the left-hand side because he was the best throw-in taker. I just put my left fullback on the left-hand side and the right fullback on the right-hand side and kind of kept it to it. But if you've got a weapon, like, you know, let's look back in the day of somebody like Delap, who had this amazing long throw, you'd have him doing it from both sides just because why wouldn't you? And I think it's just those sort of intricate little things that are additional to 24 that maybe will work better than they did in the last couple of iterations maybe. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff in there. We'll see what happens with it all. But within the set piece creator itself, my one piece of advice, make sure you understand what you're prioritizing. Simply, you know, if you want an aerial threat to be your priority, make sure it's there. And if you want your, you know, creators to be on the edge of the box to fire long shots in, make sure that's your priority. And it's important to put those in order. And once you do that, and make sure that you've dragged a few players around into a few of those different options just to make sure you've got enough cover in places, you're good to go. And it's the best thing about it is that you can set it, know that it works, and then the game does some of the hard work behind the scenes to continue to make it work, whatever you then do. So it's great. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. What? Golf claps for all. Golf claps for all at SI. What a feature. We do love it. We love it enormously. I'll tell you what else we love enormously, lads.
Go on. Tell me. Enormously.
Questions from the audience.
Ooh.
Oh my God, we love questions from the audience. We asked for some on Twitter this mm-hmm. week. Said, hey, we are opening up the viewer post bag for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. What would you like to know? And I'll tell you who came through, Kev.
Go on. Callum. Go on. Tell me.
The bloody audience. They came through. We have had some questionionionionions from the good viewers and listeners of this podcast. And mm-hmm. I thought, if it's all right with the two of you, if we could just spend a little bit of time going through them and answering some of the burning questions that people have.
Well, I mean, if they've got questions, we might have answers, but I can't guarantee it. You never know.
We can't promise the quality of the answers.
No, absolutely. But we can absolutely give some.
If there's one thing we have never promised on this podcast, it is quality.
The quality of anything.
But we will try our best. It just, you know, but you know, our best is subjective. Mm-hmm. But we'll give it a bloody go, won't we? Look, we've had some absolute smashes come in. From the community. Let's start because again it's a bit poignant, because there are a few people out there who are doing saves of this nature at the moment. Mm-hmm. Question from a listener of the podcast, Dizzy. Hello, Dizzy. Thank you very much for your question, pal. Dizzy would like to know, lads, if we were to start up our own build a nation save, which country would be our first choice to build up? Kev, if you were going to build a nation, what nation are you building, sir?
See, I do have a particular country. I will tell you that in a second. But I just want to preface it with the thought that I watched a few people do builder nations. Friend of the podcast, Tony Jameson's currently doing one in Greece, for example, on his streams, which is amazing. But if I'm totally honest with you, it's not a save type I've ever really thought of doing myself. And I don't really understand what they're trying to do in terms of how they're trying to build their nation. Are you going to build a club up, make them brilliant, and then have to leave them to go and build another club up to bring the league up because you've then got fighting clubs against each other? Are you doing it? I haven't got my head totally around exactly how it works, but if I'm going to build one nation, and I think if we get through all of these questions, this might relate to another one in a slightly different way as well. My answer here, at the moment, I'm going Ukraine. And I'm going Ukraine for a couple of reasons, primarily because I think they've got two or three really decent sides in and around the league that you can build off of. And if you could go into another of the teams, sort of, you know, five, six, seven teams down in that particular division and bring one of those up, you've got ready-made opponents for you and all that kind of stuff. But also, at the moment, we understand that Ukraine are going through a really tricky time. So it's a way of just shining a light again, which is why I started my Homeward Bound series in Ukraine last year, to say it's ridiculously impressive that they're still doing top flight football with all the stuff that's going on in around their country at the moment. And they're still, you know, able to do that as a way of entertaining the masses and all that kind of stuff. So enormous respect to them for that. Enormous love to them for what they're going through. And I think there's a couple of really good teams in there that you could build a nation through. So that would be my choice, I think.
Love that. Absolutely love that. Callum, build me a nation, my friend.
I'm in a similar camp to Kev. I've sat in many second yellow card stream because I find it fascinating, because I feel like he's playing a different game. Like it's really, really interesting to see how, like, I quite often will go into a stream with Matt and he'd be sat there watching a game on full match and he's not managing either of the teams because it's a Hungarian team that's got to the Europa League final and he really needs them to win. And hearing him talk about how he works, because sort of, Kev, you mentioned there, do you get as far as you can with a team and then move? He doesn't. He has absolute domination with one team. They walk the league every single season. But what he does then is he creates a pool of loan players. Now, I can't remember exactly, he has a phrase for it. I can't remember what it was. But he has this pool of loan players. So he basically gets all of the best players in the country, signs them, then immediately loans them to his rivals. So then they are also getting stronger. Now, obviously, there's no correct way to play Football Manager. We say that all the time, and it is the right thing. So you can do a build a nation save in whatever way you want. Personally, I probably would build a club to as much as I want, leave that club, then build another club up. And then, because it would be cool to see my different clubs also dominating in whatever country I would go for. I was having a quick flick through the sort of hierarchy of leagues. You've obviously got your top five leagues, which you'd be able to guess. Then you go in sort of Holland, Portugal, Belgium. Scotland was one I thought about, but that's ninth already, which is quite high, really. And I kept going down the list. Interestingly, Kev, for you, Ukraine is 16th. So, you know, reasonably good. I've gone all the way to 20th for mine, because their national side is a really strong one. Their national side in game is the sixth best national side in the world. However, their league is 20th, and that seems wrong to me. That seems like there's a bit of, you know, it doesn't particularly, and that league is Croatia. Now, I think the Croatian league would be a really interesting one to build. There are teams you would know in there. Clicking on them, though, Dynamo Zagreb have basically won the league pretty much exclusively for the last 20 years, other than one, and I don't know how to pronounce it, is it Rijeka? I'm not sure. They won it in 2016, but outside of that, Dynamo have won every league title since 2005. They're the PSG of Croatia. So obviously, you'd want to take them down. However, they'd also be good for you. because they'd be a good side to sort of keep you around there. Hadjik Split as well are in there, and I like Hadjik Split because it's a fun name. Lokomotiva. There's a few different clubs who, you know, you could sort of build, you could build with. I have been dabbling with the idea, I'll be honest with you. Not this year, because I'm very much Team Slough still. However, FM25, it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility for me to do a build a nation. And hopefully everyone will forget I've said Croatia now, and then I can announce Croatia. But but like it's a save which I think is really, really cool. And I think build a nation, as I say, feels like you're playing a different game, and I think that's awesome.
Nice.
How about you, Rich?
How about me? I am going to go back to my my beloved Scandi Triple Crown from last year, and I would go. I think I'd go to Norway.
Sorry.
No, that's a different country.
Sorry.
No,
that's just alienated half of our viewership.
Who I know. Yeah.
Region. Thanks, boys. Well done.
Oh, good. Callum's back. my logic behind Norway is that I think it's a really, really fun league because the, as you say, second yellow card is he's the king of the builder nation, isn't he? It's all about distributing that wealth and that player pool, keeping them in the country, because that makes all the teams stronger, which gives multiple teams better chances of competing at a higher level in Europe, which then raises the prestige of your league. And that's got to be the long-term objective. Norway, for me, it's a wonder kid factory, but it's very, very difficult to keep a lot of those players in the club long-term, because unless you are successful in Europe consistently, all of your players are going to want to leave. So if you can take a club and just turn them into a wonder kid farm, loan all these players out to three, you know, five, six, seven different clubs in the league, keep doing that consistently, raise the league's reputation, also raise the reputation internationally as well. Because again, Norway, there's a core of some really, really good young players
football
from Norway. You know, there are some good ones. There's a big striker. I can never remember his name. He's got quite a big family as well. But like, you develop wonder kids, because he's 21, 22 years old in real life. He's going to be the best striker in the world on Football Manager 24 for at least 12 years. No, very few players are going to come close. Even when he starts to drop off physically, he's dropping off from a very, very high place. You develop a generation of wonder kids to play around already one of the best players in the database. You've still got the likes of an Erdegaard in there who are going to do a job for quite a long time as well. You build that over a prolonged period of time. You've potentially got world beaters inside a decade. You can imagine if you do it right. The most difficult thing for me about the concept for Build a Nation is how you concentrate on those other clubs, how you distribute that wealth evenly within your league. We've seen guys like Mad FM do it with his Region Air before, when he did his Northern Boys, when he did it with Newcastle a couple of FMs ago. It's distributing money around those non-league clubs in the north of England as well, so they grow, so they get the better youth intake, so you can poach that. It's, Callum, you've hit the nail on the head. It's like watching somebody play a different game. It's almost like the results on the pitch for your team aren't important, because it's everything else that you're trying to do. Crew did it last year. He had a Greek save, Soz Tony. Crew did it first. But he got to the point where with his save, he had his assistant manager managing all the league games, because after six or seven seasons, on paper, his team were so, so good compared to every other team in the league. The actual league campaigns didn't matter. It was Europe. It was the Champions League that he was trying to win. And that's what with a country like Greece, with a country like Bulgaria, the smaller European nations, or the smaller, you know, wherever you're playing, wherever you're doing, it doesn't have to be Europe, wherever your club is based, after a period of time with a prolonged builder nation, your league results become less important, because you know that you're going to win the league regardless of what you do. It's that effort into building up everybody else around you that is the bit that doesn't put me off, but I find intimidating, because you've got to do it right, because if you don't, the save's going to collapse and fall flat on its face. But I'd love to go and give it a go in Norway. I do miss Scandi football. It's only been a month, but I do really miss it already. It is brilliant.
My friend, Jay, he does a Norway Build a Nation every game, every iteration of the game. He manages Vålerenga and he absolutely loves it. He's been trying to convince me to do it year on year on year. And he exactly for the reasons you've said, you're sort of building those wonder kids, you're selling them on, you're making the money, you're building the club. And he absolutely loves Norway for a Build a Nation. So I would second that recommendation. I think it's a very good country to choose.
There we go. See, them's the ones. Ukraine, Croatia, Norway. Callum, if you want me to redact Croatia.
If you could redact. Not Croatia.
Not Croatia. Callum has got any country but Croatia.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to be Croatia.
Absolutely no chance whatsoever. There we go. Beautiful. So those are the nations that we would be building if we had the opportunity. Love that. It's a very, very, very good question. Very good question. Question number two. This comes from Wald McConville, grayed out goalkeeper enthusiast. Wald McConville, remember from that one time
in
the playoffs. What an experience, Wald. What an experience. Wald's question, if Football Manager Therapy were a management team in Football Manager, who would be the designated manager and what role would everybody else have? I like that. I like that question a lot. I'm going to throw it out there early doors. If I don't put myself down as the manager, I feel like I'm just being silly because I kind of feel like I would have to. I'm not saying I would do a very good job at it. In hindsight, I would definitely make myself the manager and then be carried by my backroom staff, very much, very similarly to how I am on podcast. So I'll be in charge and I'll actually have a really, really talented backroom staff behind me. Callum, do you have a role that you could see yourself doing behind the scenes at a football club?
The one that comes to mind is not me, actually. It's Kev. I think Kev would be a sensational director of football. I think he'd be so good at running the club. Negotiations. I mean, how you're never going into a negotiation with Kev and winning. Like, there's no way. He'd talk you about, he'd make you feel like you'd won, though. That's the key. You'd walk and go, brilliant, I've done really well there, when actually you've lost everything you went in for. I think Kev would be fantastic as a director of football. For myself, I don't know really. I mean, I think I'd be a reasonably good assistant manager. I think I could stand next to you and sort of whisper in your ear what to do, and you could go, okay, yeah, I'm not going to do that, but thanks for telling me. I think I'd be okay at that. I am a teacher, so head of youth development was mentioned. I think Dave Goodger put that on Twitter. So that would also make sense. Look, I've got so many roles, you just put me in a role, I'll just do whatever you want.
That's the thing with these lower league teams, though. You need one person to come in and do seven roles.
I'd probably be assistant manager, head of youth development, left wing back, and sports scientist. I got a D in science, so probably not the best. But that's what I'd do.
that makes you overly qualified, if I'm brutally honest with you. Yeah. We'll take on all comers. We're asking for three GCSEs. None of them are science. In this fictional football club, don't let real life qualifications hold you back from achieving your dreams.
I know sport. Yeah. I know sport. So I'll be the sports scientist. I'm here.
This is it. Like, Callum, all of our players are really, really tired 20 minutes into a game. Any thoughts? Photosynthesis. Oh, he's good. Oh, he's good, isn't he? Oh, wow. Okay. That's an approach. Fibula. Oh God, he's on fire. He's absolutely on fire, isn't he? He's absolutely on fire. But I know the melting point of magnesium. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I don't. So.
No. Nobody can.
Give me a Bunsen burner, I'll be fine.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just because he's not here, should we talk about Jeb for a second? Because ultimately, I've got two thoughts with what I would do with Jeb in a club, right? And it's based around the thought of, I think he's more tactically astute than people might give him credit for to start with. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing within the game. So do you want him to be some form of tactical mastermind, creating some stuff and offering that up? Or do you want him to be something like the fitness coach? And the reason why I say the fitness coach specifically is he is not going to stand for any crap. Is he? He's just not. And those players that are going to whinge and moan and whine about, you know, bleep tests and all that kind of stuff, he's just not going to take it. Where I'd go, yeah, you're right. Let's go down the pub instead. It'll be fine. But he won't stand for it. And he's going to get that squad as fit as they've ever been in their lives. And that's going to help us in these lower league situations that we find ourselves in. So I can't quite figure out whether I want him to be tactical mastermind of some sort, or actually just the one who cracks a whip and just gets these bunch of divas doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Definitely whip cracking. No. That's Jeb all over.
100%. I think both of those roles would suit him brilliantly. So I think in this context, what we're going to do is we're going to amalgamate those two roles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're going to amalgamate the roles into a role which we're creating for Jeb, which I think, you know, it's, I'm going to call it Puppet Master. I think that's the one. I think that's the one for Jeb. He's behind the scenes, pulling the strings, cracking the whip. He's a very, very clever boy. If you've seen Jeb's performances in the network game, he knows his way around the tactical setup. Does that matter?
He does.
So I would trust him tactically. Yeah, I absolutely would. I'd trust it. I'd follow that man into tactical battle. Absolutely, I would. Absolutely, I would. And that, for my money, is a backroom team that's going to win you leagues. That backroom team is going to win you titles. We've got no physio. Just don't get injured. You'll be fine. just try not to get hurt out there. Just work.
What do they really do? What do they really do, physios? If you're injured, you're injured, aren't you?
If we're just sponge on a knee or something.
Get on with it.
Magic sponge. That's what we're all about.
Do you think it's broken? Okay, get off the pitch then. There's not a lot I can do for you.
No. Maybe some sports science. No. No.
No.
Callum actually practices holistic sports science. It's... So drink this gallon of water that at one point used to have Lucozade in it, but a really, really long time ago. So you'll probably be fine.
Still tastes like it a bit, though.
Still tastes a little bit like Lucozade. You'll probably be fine. This will enhance performances.
Just go over there and photosynthesize. You'll be fine. Just like,
brilliant.
You know, just... It's not even a sunny day, boss. Get over there. Get over there.
Is it too early for me to get out of my contract and go somewhere else?
You negotiate the contract. You'd be fine.
I do. Probably, I'm the director of football.
Everybody, ironically, everybody but your own. Didn't trust you to do that. Wonderful. Right then. So that's the club, and I predict big things for Atletico FMT. That's the name of the club. I've decided. Soz, lads.
Fine.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm not even sorry. Not even sorry at all. It's a good name. Right then, next up, our next question comes from Andrew Terry. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
Lovely to have you in. Andrew's question is, which country playable in the base game could you never see yourself managing in? Base game, so any custom databases that are created on things like Sort It Out SI don't count. I think I'm expecting there to be some similar answers here, but not necessarily for the reasons people might be expecting. I'll start because I read this one and immediately something popped straight into my head. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to put a caveat in beforehand. It is nothing to do with the country itself. I've got a lot of time for the country. I've got a lot of friends that live in the country. I've got family that live in the country. And it's a wonderful place to visit, and I'd like to do so again soon. But the country I would never see myself managing in would be the United States of America. For one very simple reason. Actually, no, that's a complete lie. It's not one very simple reason. It's about 300 incredibly complicated reasons. Because the MLS... God bless it, makes absolutely no sense to me. It feels like trying to learn the rules to a completely different game. Football is somehow involved in it in the middle somewhere. I've tried MLS saves in the past. I've never made it past a couple of weeks in them. I physically can't do it. There's so much to learn. There is so much to do. There are so many different rules and regulations involving contracts, player signing, designated players, additional players. Like there's the draft. Ah, just thinking about it now just gives me a small headache. So purely for those reasons, it comes out of laziness, doesn't it? I don't have the capacity to learn the complicated rules for a new league. That's all that's holding me back, really. I'm sure it's wonderful. I'm sure it's brilliant fun. And once you understand it, like former podcast host Matt was a big MLS advocate, but he understands the rules, which I just don't. He tried to explain them to me once and I glossed over, like actually glossed over. I was like, no, sorry, I've got nothing. There's a draft. I can give what now? No, couldn't tell you. So MLS is the one for me. Kev, any countries that might put you off from a stint out there?
So in a very broad sense, my initial answer was no. Mm-hmm. In the sense of I think I'd pretty much go everywhere in terms of mm-hmm. nothing would be a turn off in terms of rule sets. I wouldn't understand them. I'd make stupid mm-hmm. mistakes, but I'd try and I'd figure it out eventually. Having thought about it a little bit deeper, there is only one reason that would stop me going anywhere in particular, and it mm-hmm. is the counter argument to Ukraine being the team that I would build a nation with. And at the mm-hmm. moment, because of the political sensitivity and all that kind of stuff, I couldn't see myself doing a Russia save, for example, mm-hmm. because I wouldn't want to deem myself being supportive of what's going on in that kind of conflict in any way. But that's not a footballing thing. That's a different thing altogether. If we're purely talking in football sense, is there a league that I wouldn't go to? No, there isn't. But there might be a few other extenuating circumstances that mean currently I wouldn't choose that, for example. But other than that, nope, I'd go pretty much anywhere.
That makes fair. Sense. Yeah. I can understand the thought process behind that. I think that's fair. Callum, what about you, my friend?
Croatia. Any... Definitely never Croatia. I think I'm along the same lines as Kev, almost exactly, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. The reality is no, there's no leagues I have a major dislike towards. Equally, I wouldn't do Russia currently. I think it would be a poor choice with what is going on, and I wouldn't want to be seen to be supporting that. I am really, really boring when it comes to Football Manager saves. You might have noticed I've been on Twitch for about a year and a half, and I've only done non-league English saves. Do you know why? Because that's the type of save I like to do. I've had quite a lot of messages this time around going, why are you doing Slough again? And the message is quite simple. It's because I wanted to do Slough again. This is my hobby. It's what I wanted to do. So the reality is, there isn't really a league. Although, just because, funny, isn't it? Azerbaijan probably wouldn't manage in there. For no apparent reason, they're 133rd in the pyramid of leagues. That's going to be quite tricky. I probably wouldn't manage that. I can't even click on it. Like in the list of it, for some reason, it won't even let me see who's in that division. So for that reason, I'm scared of it, and I wouldn't manage there.
Sounds like you're scared to take on a Build a Nation there, if I'm honest with you, pal. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing from that. Right. So I think this question follows on quite nicely. From the previous. This is a question from a lovely gentleman from over the pond, Brian Cook. Oh. Brian Cook, Soccer with Brian.
What a guy.
Friend of the podcast, friend of the people, Soccer with Brian. Hello, Brian. Thank you very much for your question, mate. I find it really, really hard to say hello, Brian, without immediately slipping into, is it Marsha from Spaced? Hello, Brian. Yeah,
that's excellent, really good show.
So anyway, hello Brian. Brian's question is half a bottle of Ouzo Destructo and all the regret. That's not the question.
I'm sorry, Brian.
It's not the question. I've gone off piste. It's been derailed. Let's get it back on the tracks. Brian's question. Everybody has their list of saves that they want to do. What's one on the list you haven't been able to do yet that you have wanted to? Now, I'm going to be brutally honest with you that I've got two. I've got two. And one of them, because the capacity to do it isn't here yet. And one of them, because I haven't had the time. We've talked about them. I would love to actually have a proper go at a Builder Nation. I think it's something I've never really done. I've looked at, you know, when you see people doing things like the Pentagon Challenge, I'm like, that's fair enough. But it's the only thing that's holding you back from winning a Pentagon Challenge is time. Because inevitably, if you spend enough time on a Pentagon, you're going to win it. Builder Nation, there's so much more to do. I would love to have a go. I would absolutely love to have a go at one. But I never have. So maybe in the future, not Croatia. Definitely not Croatia. That's not going to happen. Ever. No, never Croatia. Wink to camera for the audio listeners. I'm winking at the camera.
Could you redact that wink, please? Thank you. It's gone. Close.
Okay. Yes. Whew, what a relief. I nearly fell into a trap there. No, love to have a go at Builder Nation. I genuinely would. I think I have to say, watching guys like Matt do it so well, it gives you a better idea of what it is you're aiming for. So if you go out without the prior information, you've not understanding what you're trying to achieve with it. It's going to be a lot more difficult. So a Builder Nation. And the other one, because the capacity is not there yet, but it is definitely something I will be spending a lot of time doing in future FMs, is Saves based around the women's game. I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. I think it's coming in FM25. They have confirmed. Even if it's incorporating it into a journeyman of some kind, even if it's just doing a save where you specifically manage in women's football, I'm really, really excited by the concept of it. I play a little bit of the new EA, I play a bit of EAFC, formerly known as FIFA, and this year they've introduced women into the Ultimate Team game mode, and it's just loads of fun because suddenly there's this enormous pool of footballers. There are some names that you know because they are, you know, they're bigger names in the terms of, you know, world football, but then you're just discovering new players all the time as well. And it's the exciting thing for me, it's a new pool of really, really fun looking players that I really want to have a go at managing on FM. So up until now, haven't had the capacity to do it. You know, they announced that it was coming at some point. I think it was kind of, you know, before the launch of FM23. I thought, this is going to be brilliant. Can't wait. And now that it's confirmed for being incorporated to FM25, get me involved. Like, the leagues look like loads of fun. Every single league has got clubs that look like they're going to be brilliant fun to manage in. I think the Lyon women's team looks wonderful. So again, maybe a stab at those at some point in FM25 or beyond, but not having had the opportunity yet, but we'll be diving in headfirst when the time comes. So there we go. Mm-hmm. Kev, anything on your list that you haven't managed to cross off yet in terms of your saves?
I would echo the women's game stuff for FM25. It will be something that I try and incorporate in my main save next time around, whatever that turns out to be in some way. Haven't figured that exactly because it's a way off, but definitely something there. I've got two thoughts. One is a more structured and serious thought, and the other one is, after FM23, I'd just like a winning, successful, completed save, please. Thank you very much. If that's okay, Football Manager community, that would be a lovely thing. In some form, I'll take that for 24. But yes, I am the counterpoint to what Rich was saying earlier, in a way. I think that the one save that I haven't done that I've talked about on stream is the MLS. Because it's so vastly different. I'm not saying I'd get it. I might chuck it within 3 weeks going, it confuses me and I've lost all hope of understanding anything. But I'd like to give it a go at some point. Now, I don't have a structure in mind at the moment as to what that looks like, as to when that might be and all that kind of stuff. But if I finish my streaming journey at some point and I haven't done an MLS save within it at some point, I think I would have missed the boat a little bit. Because it would be something I'd love to try and get my head round, whether I succeed or not, who knows? So yeah, that's kind of mine. But seriously, at the moment, a winning completed one, I will take whatever it is at the moment. It's all good.
Play for set pieces, Kev. Play for set pieces. It's the best advice I can give to anybody in any circumstances. Callum, anything on your list? Clearly not Croatia.
Not Croatia. Absolutely not Croatia. I think it's a really difficult question because ultimately, from my perspective, if I want to do a save, I, I tend to do it. So I haven't really got, so I wrap my brain a little bit. One that I'm already, before I even say it out loud, I'm conflicted by is a youth only save. And I've seen lots of people do it, and I think they're very, very challenging. My big reservation behind not doing one would be I love making transfers, and ultimately, obviously, straight away you can't. Like, I think making a transfer is a big part of the game, and it's something I get a lot of enjoyment out of. And obviously, then you wouldn't. You're also leaving a lot of trust in the game to give you good youth intakes, which I have found, and I'm hoping it's different on this year's. I really am, because there's nothing more satisfying than have a player come through the youth system and actually make it within your first team. But I feel like it just doesn't really happen that often. And if you were solely waiting on that, I think it would be a real challenge. And I know people are doing them. You know, I know they are a done save, but I think I'd like it. I like the idea. Would I actually do it? I don't know. It is honestly what I'd say. But I think the save I'm doing this year incorporates elements of that without being wholeheartedly, yes, you're just relying on you. So maybe I'm taking a baby step into it this year. But I don't know. Maybe something along that line. I think what I want to do is I don't want to just play the game anymore. I want to go a bit further. I think that I've always been sort of someone who is very much plug in and play. I don't think too much about it tactically, but since really being on this pod, if I'm honest with you, because you're talking about the game a lot more, I have found myself looking into it more, looking into different aspects of the game more, trying to tweak things and then seeing them change on the pitch. And that's really, really satisfying. So who knows? Maybe just a case of just being a bit more in depth in the way I play the game, taking more time over it, not running through games, you know, in a 2-hour stream, doing 3 games because I'm looking more in depth in it. I absolutely love full match. I absolutely love it. And there's no world where I do it every game of season, because you wouldn't finish the season in a game cycle. But I've done it lots where a major cup final and stuff, I have played on full match. And you just see a different side to the game. You watch it as an actual football game, and it's brilliant. And I hopefully this year I'll get to a few more cup finals so I can validate doing it, which would be nice, rather than just the Papa John's. But yeah, so I suppose just playing the game slightly differently, rather than a different save. I want to be better at Football Manager. I want to know the game better. That's not really sorry, Brian. That's not really answered your question, but I'm going to stop anyway. So there you go.
It's a good way of answering questions.
Yeah. It's a different answer. Think?
No.
Yeah.
No, I refuse.
Sorry, Brian.
Right. We've got time for a few more questions. This one won't take particularly long. This one was just addressed to me personally from Joshua Brown on Twitter. Rich, would you like a hug? Oh, I'm busy that day. Oh. Thanks there, mate.
Nah, I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
I'll take one.
Callum will take the hug. Yeah. Callum will take the hug. There you go. Callum, you have got a hug. Congratulations. Next question. This came from on Twitter from Y Callum.
Okay.
Y Callum, that's you. You cheeky boy, ask you little scamp. Oh, so I'm assuming you got an answer for this one. We all play as virtual football managers. We all do.
We do.
But which that three creators great. From the community could you see being football managers in real life? Callum, I'm going to start with you for this one. Or is he going to dodge this question as well?
Well, thanks Callum. For the question, but I'm going to answer something completely different now. why Callum? I did have a think about it, and I thought about it for quite a while, actually. And it made me go, actually, there's loads of people who I could see being within that role. Someone who initially came to mind, just from the way he plays the game and how in-depth he plays it, and the fact he works on the game, is the Koltov, Jack. I think he would be... He would be a really, really interesting tactician to work alongside with regards to the real game. I do believe he's getting coaching badges as well. So I've got that. So it's legitimate. But I think he would be a really, really interesting one. The next one is a friend of the pod. It's old TJ. Tony Jameson. I reckon Tony would be an excellent manager for a few reasons. I think he'd be a really good man manager. I feel like in some aspects, I've been managed by Tony for content creation for a little while. He's very, very supportive of me. He's a lovely, lovely bloke. And I think Tony would be, I think he'd get the best out of people. I think he'd be a good manager. Tactically, I'd rather not speak about that. But you don't need to be. Not everyone needs to be a tactician, do they? He hasn't been sacked for a while. So I think Tony would be really good as well. And then I'm going to chuck a curveball one, because if you don't chuck a curveball in, what's the point? Salty B, because he brings all the excitement. He wore face paint for his first streams of this game cycle, because it was added into the game. That my manager, you know, if I'm stepping out on that field, I want him wearing the colours of my kit on his cheeks. And that is why I think Salty B would be an excellent manager in real life.
Oh, those are three very, very good shouts. I can just imagine Tony storming out of a press conference when people won't stop asking about his trifle policy.
He kept kicking the chair in last year's game, and I didn't even know it was an option. Kicking the chair. I was like, where's that come from? And it was like they created it for him.
Quite incredible. Yeah. Kev, anybody from any of our friends that you would like to see on the touchlines in real life?
Yeah, so I have my three options. I have, as Callum said, thought about it way too much in the last 24 hours and come up with several different iterations of this list. But I'm going down the list of, do you remember back in the day, Rich? I'm not sure whether little baby face Callum will totally get this one or not. Do you remember like the likes of Brian Clough with Peter Taylor? You know, those double acts, those kind of double acts that worked well together. I've gone double act central for my three. Okay, so we're going to start off with what I actually think would be the best combination. And I think if you played for them, they'd get you winning stuff. And that's Steve Hood and GYR. Ooh, yeah. I mean, I think you don't mess with Steve Hood, I think, is the sort of the focal point, the vocal point of it and all that kind of stuff. I think he'd know how he wanted you to do things, and he'd let you know if you didn't and all that kind of good stuff. But then you just got the tactical mind of GYR in the background, just feeding him info and feeding him, you know, statistics and other bits and pieces. And I think those two together would be a force to be reckoned with. I've solved Callum's issue and Callum's issue of, you know, would you really listen to Tony Jameson on tactics? I don't know. But he's got RDF, hasn't he? Yeah. So what I'd do is I'd put Tony in charge of, you know, the team morale and the team talks and other bits and pieces and getting people sorted. And then occasionally just go to RDF, tell him how to do it. And it'll tell him how to do it. And it'll be fine. And then occasionally, what I really love about this double act is, you know, once in a blue moon, RDF is going to do a training session that you'll all walk away from going, I have no idea what that was about or what it did, but I think I'm better. And I, you know, that's going to happen here and there. And I just think RDF going loopy on the sidelines with Tony just kind of trying to chill it all down would be fantastic. So that's my second pairing. And my third pairing is purely about good cop, bad cop. And it would be the Omegas. Omega Luke and Omega Dad. I want Omega Dad to be my assistant manager of the team that I'm playing for, because he would just be the best good cop you've ever seen in your life. And he'd make you think you're the best squad player in the world that could cover every position and do everything you needed to do. And occasionally Luke would just go, nope, sort it out, make it better. And you go, okay, Luke. And those are my three. I think they'd all work really, really well. And I think they complement each other quite nicely.
Kev, that was six, not three. Heavens above. It was six. You've done worse. That was worse than my answer to Brian.
That's why it took me 24 hours to think about it so much.
God, maths is hard, isn't it? Counting is difficult. Counting is really, really difficult. I've had a little think about it. And now this might feel like a cop-out.
Go on.
Number one. First and foremost, is Pokes. It's just Pokes. It's just Pokes.
What are you doing to this club? I mean, that's lovely. He's fantastic.
Pokes. Just Pokes. Just Pokes. Pokes does all of his press. He does all of his press conferences on dog walks. He hires additional backroom staff to carry the stand with all the advertising on it, like behind him as he's walking the dog. I think pokes would be absolutely sublime. I was going to say pokes twice. I was going to say pokes again, just because it's pokes. But I have had a last second. I've had a last second change of heart, because Callum, you've mentioned exceptional man managers and people like Tony Jameson. Kev, you've touched on Tony and RDF, which I get what a combination that would be. I think RDF throwing an iPad from the touchline if his team ever hit the post in a game would be sensational. I think he'd find it hard to manage a team for more than a month, though. So that could be true. That could be to his detriment. I'm going to go for something I think would be an equally good man manager. You know, when in the press conferences where it says, what kind of manager are you? And there's the options. I feel football, like I want them to be able to come to me with anything. And I think for me, that's our boy, the Steak Bake. I think
nice,
steakety bakety, like just an actual serious one. If there was somebody man manager, if there was somebody who I would want, if my manager said to me, look, for your problems, come, I'll put an arm around you and we'll make this work. So, boss, I've not scored for 47 games. He'd be like, don't worry. Number 48 has got you written. Don't worry. Game 48, that's your game. Boss, I've not scored for 48 games now. Game 49, that's your game. Like, Steak Bake would just make me feel better about everything. So I'm going to chuck Steaky in there because he's just wonderful.
Steak would need a bad cut, though. Steak would need a jab next to him Yeah, it's all fine. You go and speak to Jeb now. You're leaving. You're gone.
Exactly. Like you leave Steak's office and you're like, oh, God, that went so much better. And so there's a sack over your head. You wake up tied to a chair. Like, score some goals. Score some goals. It's just Jeb calling you a bum bosser and all sorts. It's all terrifying.
Do you think in this world where he's coming to Steak Bake saying, I haven't scored in 40-odd games, they get to 53 games and he'd say, go to see Jeb, and Jeb would go, one, you're a goalkeeper. Two, it's all right, you're playing Rich next, it'll be fine.
That came out of nowhere. That was.
Wow, I'm taking. There's.
It's my birthday. Earlier. You can't do a thing about it.
Kev, there is a mean streak deep in your heart, and when it comes out, Kev, it's ugly. On the subject of mean streaks, my third manager, just because I think he would make Mourinho look like a rank amateur when it comes to the press conference housery. It's our boy Ali.
I'm so glad. I felt terrible not saying his name. I'm so glad you said him.
He was in my first three as well.
Yeah.
Because I think when it comes to the mind games, I don't think you could look past him. I think you would. You couldn't put on a brave face in a press conference. You'd crumble. If you were a manager and you were up against a team managed by Ali, if you sat down at that table, like, right, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to be fine. And the first question, like, so the opposition manager has had some choice words to say about your mother. And you're like, oh, God. Mummy Owens is a saint. How dare he? And then you crumble and lose 10-0 on the day. I think he would outmind game anybody and everybody.
Press conferences are so boring nowadays because everyone's so media trained, but you would tune in for an Ali press conference every time. It was
100%.
It would be
absolutely sublime. I think any of those three, I'd watch them on Match of the Day. 100%. Any of those combinations, any of those nine,
12.
Oh, the hell with it. 13. I'm chucking in Owen as Ali's assistant. There you go. It's done. Let's just name people.
You've made a mockery of my question, to be honest.
You've made a mockery of the system. And I'll tell you what, Callum, all of them are manager in Croatia. That's you go. That's, no! what, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing, because you're never going to. Oh, winky, winky. There we go. Again, for the audio listeners, I've again winked directly into the camera, implying that Callum may in the future.
I mean, that time you did say winky, winky, though, so I think they will have known.
Again, I'm just covering all the bases.
Oh, dear.
Mostly because if we turn on closed captions, I want to see what it says. Yeah. Right, I think we've got time for one more, and I think because we had so many, we haven't had a chance to get through all of them, but there is one more that has stood out to me, and I think this would be a nice place to finish. This has come from Kirk Sheridan from Games Tell Stories. Hello, Kirk. Thank you for your question. I've really liked this one. What is it about Football Manager that makes you want to connect from that game specifically Sorry, to make content. God, reading is hard. What is it about Football Manager that makes you want to make content from that game specifically and share it with the community? I really like that question. That is lovely. Again, I will go first. I'll go first because I feel like it's appropriate. My answer to that question, Kirk, you've actually included in your question, and it's the community. I love this community. I've made so many wonderful friends from through playing Football Manager that if there was a game that I had to make content around, with the, as you say, with the idea of sharing it with a group of peers, with a group of people, the people that play Football Manager are people that I want to spend my time around. They're people that I want to be able to share my creative impulses with, be it through this podcast, be it through streaming, whatever it may be. I've met so many friends, I've met so many good people, and it's through playing Football Manager. So it's, for me, it's not about what I'm creating, it's more about who I'm getting to share those creations with. And they're good people. I'm sat here with two of my wonderful friends now. The third wonderful friend is in the Isle of Man filming a pool game. Professional.
Of course he is.
Not in a pub. That would be weird. Just full production crew in the Queen's Arms somewhere. He's just filming them. But yeah, no, that's for me, that's what motivates me. I like to be able to share things with people that I want to share things with. If the community wasn't as welcoming and as lovely as it is, there's a very strong possibility I might have given up at this point. I'm going, you know what, I have other commitments. I've got other things going on in my life. But I want to make time for this because I like connecting through this game with the community. That's what makes me want to do it. Kev, your thoughts?
So why did I start? Because truthfully, it was pretty much one of only a couple of games I could do it with. And I saw a couple of other people doing it. So I thought I'd give it a go because I didn't know you could until I did see them do it. So that's one. Two, the thing that I really like about Football Manager, specifically now where I am, which is purely focusing on live streams rather than YouTube videos for myself, is it's a really good game to play whilst chatting to people. There are, you know, there's nothing that's going to distract me for too long away from my chat. I don't have to go on, you know, 20-minute missions of focusing on the screen of my, you know, shooting game or whatever it might be that I've got to remain focused on. I can chat whilst I'm playing it, which I think is really amazing. But what keeps me doing it, having started it, is ultimately, we talked about this a little bit in my stream on Friday. Fluffy overload alert coming, guys, just so you know, you're going to have to bear with me for a second. But I basically said that one of my birthday wishes this time around was to make every member of my community realize how impactful they have been for me and in the last couple of years. And I genuinely believe that, mean that and believe that of myself. The fact that I get to go live for a couple of hours every weekday and get, you know, people that come into my chat regularly and want to be there and spend some time with me makes a bigger impact on who I am more than I have on them, I can absolutely assure them. So it's that, it's the fact that I started doing a game that I wanted to do because I wanted to give myself project and purpose and focus and all the stuff I've talked about before, and I keep doing it because I'm now at the center point of a community that I'm really, really proud of, really means a lot to me and has a huge impact. And so those are my reasons, really. But in purely the game terms, it's because it's actually a really good game to play whilst chatting.
Love that. Absolutely love that. Callum, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo ultimately what both of you have said there with regards to community and that sort of thing. It's been really good. But I'll be honest with you, that wasn't why I initially got into it. I wasn't really aware of the community before I started. As much as I'd watched people, I hadn't really had conversations with people or anything like that. So I wasn't aware of the wider community. And I've been really impressed with how that is and how supportive people are. And, you know, It's weird, isn't it? When you have people who have the same interests as you, you get along with them. It's so bizarre. Who would have thought it? The main reasons I got into content creation alongside FM is, first and foremost, this is my favorite game. Like, I play it all the time. Like, I just love the game. I've loved it for years. With regards to content creation, I think I've touched on it before, but I wanted to do radio, and I feel like streaming is as close to like visual radio as you can be, really. You're talking all the time. It's your own station. I like the sound of my own voice. That helps. But I found, as I've got older, I've learned more and more about myself. And I think you learn about your personality. You learn about what you're good at, what you're bad at, what you like doing, what you don't like doing. And something I really like doing is creating stories. And I think Football Manager is a blank canvas. At its core, and this I shouldn't say this, at its core, Football Manager is quite boring. Like as an actual game, it is a spreadsheet. And when you break it down, if you showed that to someone who has got no interest in the game at all, and went, oh, play this, they're not going to hang around for it for very long. If you compare it to a likes of a FIFA, where it's very much instantaneous, bam, you're in a game, you're playing that game, you're in. So it's about what you make it. You know, you've got to create those storylines. And I did this before I was in content creation. You know, like you would almost create these personalities for these fictional players. And I say fictional, even though they're real. Like you know, they're real people, but they're not. As soon as they're within your game, they're characters. Mm. And it's creating those storylines and creating those narratives. And that's why I get so involved with a club. I struggle with changing clubs and doing journeyman saves because I get very invested within something. And whether that is a club or a certain group of players or something like that, if I was someone who did a journeyman, I would be that terrible person who takes their players from team to team because that's my story. That's my core. And I wouldn't be able to start a new story every club I went to. Hence why I'm in my second year of doing Slough again, because I have that narrative around that football club now. And that's what I like to do. So I think that's why. And Kev is absolutely bang on. I don't think there's many better games to stream because you can have focus on the chat at all times. Unless I'm in a cup final and I'm losing with 10 minutes to go, I'm probably paying attention to the chat the entire way through, which is why when you do PvP, it's that bit harder to stream because you've got to concentrate on the chat, the game, and a Discord call. And I think that is when you start going into the sort of Call of Duty FIFA lines because you're having to focus solely on that and ignore your chat a little bit more, which is why I don't enjoy it as much as playing offline and playing with my own save. But yeah, I think that it's very long-winded. I've given a few different reasons there, but that's ultimately why I love playing Football Manager.
I think it's actually quite similar also, that last little bit about PvP, to the network save that we do. The fact that I'm chatting to Rich and Jeb, I'm also looking at my chat, I'm also focusing on the game. You know, there's lots of things going on. So what I've really understood about the network save for me and drafting to a point is it is a completely different beast to my own stream. Mm-hmm. When you come to my stream, I want you to feel belonged to a community and part of what we do. When you come to my network save or my PvP, you come to be entertained for a couple of hours by the chaos that's going on that I'm not always creating myself. And they're very different things. You've got to get used to doing those and be comfortable with that, I think. And I'm only just getting there myself. Mm. It's a different thing, isn't it? Totally.
I think the network game is probably better for that than PvP, because I think in PvP there's lots of periods where there's not a lot happening, and like especially in like the draft and stuff like that, it's quite slow. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the network game, you are still playing the game, aren't you? And equally, you're speaking to two people who you're familiar with, and you meet up with week on week. Whereas in PvP, you're chucked into a pool of people who you might get on with fantastically, but you also might not. You might clash slightly, and it's a different dynamic, isn't it? I think. Yeah. The way I put it is, I have to choose who I'm going to be rude to. I'm either going to be rude to the chat or I'm going to be rude to the Discord call because I'm not listening to one of them because I can't do it at the same time, and I find that quite tricky.
No, it's difficult, isn't it? I think you're both right. I think the network game bridges the gap between the two because it's you know, you're constantly interacting with two people, but as Callum, as you've rightly said, it's, you know, it's people that we are now very familiar with. But you know, if there's one thing that frustrates me, I find it frustrating if you are in a stream and you know you watch people that just don't chatter, just second nature to what's going on in front of them. That's why I love a United City stream. That's why I love a Y Callum stream, because both so interactive with the people around you and the people mm-hmm. watching you. And it's wonderful to like feel like you're part of that. And, you know, it's also when I see clips on social media of like the big streamers, like, you know, the really, really popular ones. And you can just see their chats in the corner and it's just text, 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 text. And it's like that, you know, that there's the person who's streaming is nothing on there is going to be able to get picked up on. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really difficult thing to balance and get right. And I think PvP is a really, really difficult thing to stream as well, because you, at its essence, if people are watching you streaming PvP, you almost feel like there's additional pressure to be good at the game. You know, you feel like, okay, I actually have to stop and properly concentrate on this, because I don't mm-hmm. want the people watching me to be thinking that, oh, he's not very good at this. Like, I've been invited to this. I want to be good at this. And it's a really hard thing to balance that and concentrating on the other things that are happening around you. So yeah, I agree. Two very, very difficult things to have to do. That's why I'm at first sitting on panels. Because, you know, you're concentrating on the games that are happening in front of you. You're concentrating on interacting with your fellow panel members. But there's not that third entity of like a chat that you're also trying to get in touch with as well. It's difficult. But I think we all do okay. We do okay. We do all right. We're all right. Fair to middling. Fair to middling streamers. That's us. We're class. One more question very, very quickly before we wrap up. This question comes from the Goodger. All right, Dave, how are you? Lovely to see you. All right, Dave. Dave's question, after the success of the first FMT Live, are there plans to do another? In a very broad sense, yes. Yes, there are, Dave. Yes, there absolutely are. FMT Live 2, Electric Boogaloo.
In a more specific sense, no idea yet exactly when and where and
how.
Don't
know when, but don't know logistically how, why, or when, but there will be a second FMT Live. Yes, there just will.
Even though we haven't actually talked about it, we will do an FMT versus the community drafting thing as well at some point coming up.
We will, yes, we are due.
Not too long either, so.
Yes, we tried to fit one in before the end of FM23, but just logistically with everything going on in everybody's lives, it just wasn't doable. But there will be more community drafts coming up as well. So again, when they happen, we don't know yet, but they will be happening. So community drafts, come play FM with us, and FMT Live, 100% happening. Lovely. Lads, I don't know about the two of you. That feels very much like a podcast to me.
It absolutely did from start to finish. It was very podcast-like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even through the middle, very podcasty.
Well,
very
the middle was a little bit of a wobble, I think. Mm. But yeah, beginning,
technically mm-hmm. at the beginning it was a fever dream, but okay.
Just mm-hmm. the end. Yeah. Right, we need to make sure this ending's good, don't we?
Yeah.
We need
to believe we can end it strong.
We'll address this in the standard four-hour debrief after the podcast, where Jeb gets the tactics board out and shows us where we went wrong. Lovely. Lads, thank you very, very much for hanging. What a lovely Sunday. It's been, Callum, it's been so nice to have you back.
Thank you. It's been lovely to be here.
Lovely. Before we go, Callum, please tell the people where they can find you doing the Bill Slough content.
Absolutely. So the Bill Slough content, I was going to touch on it, but we've done more important things. So that's much more important than this. But I'm basically doing a bit of streaming, a bit of YouTube. We haven't really touched on it that much in this pod, but I'm pretty sure you've heard about it loads of times. I'm now a dad, mm-hmm. And that takes up quite a lot of my time. So I think I'm going back to work on Monday. So I don't know how much I'm going to stream and make content, but I have given YouTube a go with this new series. The way I'm doing it at the moment is I'm doing a stream and then I'm playing two games exclusively on YouTube and then I'm going back to the stream. So that's how I've sort of played it so far. Whether it'll be more YouTube than streaming going forward for the next few weeks, I don't really know. But you can find me on Y Callum regardless. It's going quite badly. So if you like seeing someone not be very good at the game, I'm your guy. And yes, it's Slough again. It's Slough again. Get over it. It's what I wanted to do. But yeah, that's where you find me.
Well, you're a dad now.
Yeah, I know. I kept it pretty quiet up to now. But
that's not come up at all.
You could have at least done some sort of preseason tournament in your network game about it. Like, yeah. I'm pretty offended that you didn't.
Could have done. I feel like we could have made more of an effort. Yeah. Really. But oh well, here we are.
Yeah.
I know. Unbelievable. Well done. Thank you. I don't know why I'm whispering. Neither do I. I'm whispering.
Thank you. For the audio listeners, Rich is whispering right now. He's whispering. And winking.
Yeah, whispering well done and winking at the same time. That's quite unsavory.
I didn't like it.
No. I didn't do it. But no, just the
idea of it. We're ending another. Oh no, we've ruined it.
It's gone weird again, hasn't it? It's gone really weird again. Right, back on the tracks. Yeah. Kev,
come on.
Send it rolling in the aisles. Where can people find you doing it?
That is the thing that I am doing. Absolutely. You can find me every weekday afternoon over on Twitch, 3 till 5 p.m. UK time. I've finished my first season at Hampton and Richmond. I'll tell you about it in the next couple of weeks on pod at some point. But I'm enjoying FM24. How much I'm enjoying it, we'll find out. But yeah, it's been good. And we will continue on into season two. One thing I will say, my 25-man squad is now down to about 8 players for the beginning of season two because I haven't gone for a transfer window yet. And I'm so scared that I'm not going to get a group of players together. So welcome to lower league management.
I love non-league so much. It's the best thing. It's just the best
thing. Isn't it good? Everyone goes off on holiday and then like 7 people come back. You're like, oh, I'm sure there were more of you.
What about you, Rich? Where can we find you?
Twitch.tv, twist.tv, richowens.fm. Cheers, Carlton Palmer. At Rich, twitch.tv /richowensfm. I had to stop and think. God, this is just who I am as a person, even though I know that I'm right and Carlton Palmer is wrong, because it's Carlton Palmer. I'm like, is that where I stream? Yeah. Oh God. Twitch.tv /richowensfm. We have started What's the Story, Former Glory. We're in the J League. It's going all right. I got bullied into signing David De Gea on stream last week because a chat told me to. And I just said yes, because I have no backbone. Come hang out with us. We'll be streaming over the course of the week. I've got a little stand-up gig this week as well. Which is unexpected, very, very last minute. So that's on Wednesday of this coming week. So we'll try and work around it. Of course, we'll be network gaming this week as well. That'll be myself and Kev and Jeb 2, all the networks, all the games, all the good times. But unfortunately, the good times have come to an end this week. Sad times. Oh, should we just go for another 3 hours? No, let's not do that. It's a terrible idea. Let's wrap it up here. Thank you, Kev. Thank you, Callum. And thank you for joining us, the audience. You're good people. We appreciate your company. We appreciate your time. Thank you for hanging out with us on another episode of Football Manager Therapy. We will see you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye-bye.